Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who has good news for people who want to pull at Pizza Express. It's Richard Herring! Hello! Lovely to see you all. Thank you for coming. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Though I was hanging out with the Crash Test Dummies, the band, the Crash Test... Don't remember them, the Crash Test Dummies. They call it... They call it Relis, but it's fine. So there we go. It's fine. Good to see them. Good, yeah. Well, look, I'm still ill. This is... It's been going on for 5 weeks now, this illness. But we'll get through it. It's going to be fine. I've had a Lemsip. Max. I don't mess around. I was in Pizza Express this week, and if you've been recently, or if you listened to the podcast recently, you'll know that I was upset that the Veneziana is no longer on the menu, which means you could donate a 25 discretionary 25 pence to the Venice in Peril Fund, which I had used on a couple of occasions to impress a woman enough to have sex with me by refusing to pay the discretionary amounts. Because I hated Venice and wanted to sink into the sea. I'm not saying this is going to work for everyone, but if you're witty like me, you could make that work. And I was up, you know, my dating days are over until my wife divorces me, which, you know... By the time it happens, I'm going to be too old and decrepit. I mean, who am I kidding? I already am. Please stay with me, Katie. I love you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything I've done. I was in there with my family this weekend, and I've got great news. The Funghi Di Bosco pizza has just come out. Sounds fucking horror. It's not like... Veneziana was nice. It's got chestnut mushrooms, tomato, garlic, mozzarella and rosemary, and then there's parsley and Gran Milano cheese on the top. It includes a discretionary 25p donation to the Veneziana Fund. Now, I don't know if that is the fund to bring back the Veneziana pizza... which I would willingly donate 25p to, but I'm not sure I'm willing to eat the fungi de Bosco pizza for that to happen, but... are they realise that Venice isn't in peril anymore? Because it's gone the other way. There was no water in Venice recently, so it'd been too successful. So now they've got to get 25p to put more water into... So all I'm saying is you can buy the fungi de Bosco. If you're on a date, get it and then go. When the bill comes, can I say, I don't want to pay the 25. And it turns into a funny little scene because most of the waiters are confused. And all you're doing is... you don't do it like, I hate Venice, and don't go crazy like that, because that'll look bad to a date. What you're doing is, you know, you're showing you understand the word discretionary. That is the main thing. Good. Well, that's good advice to everyone. So, we're doing more of these podcasts throughout June and July. So go to letssquaretheatre.com. No guests as yet booked. But, you know, I haven't booked any guests for March the 27th yet, so... But there'll be great guests, whoever they are. Do come along and see it live. It's much better live, isn't it, everyone? Yeah. 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 One person a little bit late. Let's get on with our first fantastic guest. She is probably best known for her appearance on Colchester Zoo and Friends, bringing the zoo to you. That's what we're here to... We're only going to talk about that tonight. Will you please welcome the incredible Jordan Gray, ladies and gentlemen. Jordan Gray. Hello. 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 Sit down. Hello, thank you so much for coming along. What's the Colchester Zoo bringing the zoo to you all about?
Because during lockdown, all the zoos was all closed, yeah. But the animals are still there and they need to eat, so they're still hungry. So we've done this is so crazy you asked me about this. They needed to do a fundraiser for Colchester Zoo, so we went and did some comedy to make some money, and in the interim, they gave me a private tour of the zoo.
Right.
This is amazing you asked me this story.
I thought it looked good.
In the middle of Colchester Zoo, there's a massive lake, right? And I says to the woman, like, because there's all pictures of all the animals you can see in the lake, horny toads and adders and all this. And I was like, how do you know they're still in there? Because that's a really big lake. She went, oh, no, we don't put anything in there. We just build the lake and hope that those things show up one day. I was like, I hope you don't do that with all the bloody animals in the zoo. That is a recipe for disaster.
I once cleaned the elephant enclosure at Colchester Zoo.
Why?
It was for my show, 12 Tasks of Hercules Terrace. Oh, yeah. So I was trying to recreate all the tasks of Hercules, and Colchester Zoo allowed me to come. And it's like clearing... He cleaned some stables or something, didn't he? The Augean stables, thank you. You're doing well, this, now, the audience. It's getting a lot more intelligent. I was going to say the Stygian stables, so I'm glad you're here, because I'd have made a fool of myself. But elephant poo smells quite nice. I would say it smelled... At the time, I was dieting... Not the court time of recording, unfortunately. And I was eating Weight Watchers microwavable shepherd's pie. Smelled exactly the same as elephant shit. So if you want to know what elephant shit smells like, buy one of those and microwave it. Or, you know, just stand near an elephant for a bit.
Don't all zoos smell like Grolsch beer? Or is that just me? Didn't they? Somebody did a little gasp of recognition. They do, like, I don't know what Grolsch, other beers are available that do also smell like the zoo, but Grolsch, very specifically, is the smell of a zoo in a bottle.
Is it? I haven't smelled a Grolsch for a while.
Ah, you're missing out.
It was Bross used to put the bottle stops on their shoes, and it's mentioned a lot in Sliding Doors as well, so you've hit two of my main interests there. Well done. I went to school with the Bross twins.
Both of them. That's supposed to be weird if you know one of them.
Different school. They were in the same year and everything. Let's talk about you. What a fantastic 12 months you have had in comedy terms. To the extent that when I was researching this, it kept on saying nominated for the Edinburgh Comedy Award. And I went, why are they just putting nominated? She won the Edinburgh Comedy Award, but you didn't win the Edinburgh Comedy Award, but I completely believe that you do. So you did win the Edinburgh Comedy Award.
Until this podcast came out, everyone else believed it as well. Yeah, no, I didn't. But thank you. It was a nice nomination. But I won that other thing recently. I won a really nice thing. They gave me, Channel 4 gave me some, the Breakthrough Comedian of 2023.
That's amazing.
That's right.
Really, well, and rightly so. Geez, I mean, I don't think, yeah.
Thanks absolutely. Very much.
I don't think anyone can deny that. It's kind of rare that somebody goes to Edinburgh, and it wasn't like you were not known, but you weren't. you know, you weren't well known as a comedian, I think, at that point.
No, it went
and
bonkers.
To suddenly just completely burst onto the scene.
It went really bonkers. This is how you get a bonkers Edinburgh Fringe, right? It's really, really easy. Get a really small room and don't tell anyone how big it is, because then it sells out really fast. And it's really exciting to people. Oh, it sold out, did it? Yeah, it had 12 seats in it, right? And then when you get some nice 5-star reviews, that's really, really good. What happened was we got loads of 5-star reviews, and after a while, that stops blipping on people's radar because it's not exciting anymore. So then we was like, what do we do? We should probably get a celebrity to come along. And then I found out Ian McKellen was around the corner, and my agent asked if he wanted to come, and he showed up. So then, like, Magneto showed up on my show. And then people got all excited about that because it's like a superhero-themed show. It's sort of a little bit Batman-themed as well.
Yeah.
So to have an X-Man there... I am technically an X-Man myself, but to have, like, an X... to have, like, Magneto there was very, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he liked the show.
He liked it a lot. Yeah. He coughed all the way through, bless him. I think... but I took that as a sign of enjoyment because he's laughing and then coughing. Because I think he's doing... he was doing that Shakespeare around the corner.
Yeah, he's doing a bit of Shakespeare. I mean, yeah. It's no... is it?
He's always doing Shakespeare around the corner. Everywhere he goes. Thanks for this mug. It's well nice.
It's all right.
I was a guest on, and all I got was a Snousey mug.
You can't have one of those, guys, unless you become a guest. You never know. One day. One day, mate, it could be you.
Get up here. Come on.
Come on. If things start going badly, you can come up. it would be fine. It is this sort of combined thing. You're interested in superhero stuff.
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah. I don't really like superhero films.
Maybe you've just not seen the right one.
I've seen them all.
Have you, though?
Yeah.
That's real commitment for somebody who doesn't like superhero films.
My wife.
That sounds like a lie, Richard.
I went a lot. My wife would like them, and we went a lot. And I went to the point when I don't think I like these very much.
Just men flying around with lasers coming out of their eyes.
Yeah.
I get that bit can seem annoying, but there's good ones. Ant-Man's well good. He's big and then he's small.
Yeah.
I'm not selling it, but it's great. It's really good. It's really great. I like that Moon Knight. Anyone seen Moon Knight? It's good. Not often you get like an Egyptian mummy superhero. Those things don't tend to combine. But he's a.
I don't know Moon Knight. I'll give it a go.
He's really cool. He's like wrapped up in bandages. I'm really not selling it at all. But he's wrapped up in bandages.
Sounds like my son wraps himself up in toilet paper a lot. Yeah. Is it similar to that? Pretends he's a mummy. That's what he likes to do.
But I do like superheroes because basically every story is the hero's journey and like that whole thing, the Joseph Campbell thing. And then with superhero movies, you just remove all the metaphor. You're like, no, it literally is about a superhero going to another realm, getting something, fighting the goddess and coming back. It's just every story is a superhero story to me, I think.
Okay, that's fair enough. There's been some controversy and prejudice directed at you because you are from Essex. Which is...
I went on Channel 4 and got my WKD blue out. Yeah.
Which is the last... It's the unchallenged prejudice, isn't it, Essex? You're still allowed to just hate people from Essex.
Yeah. And it's the only way.
It is.
It's this accent. I like having this accent because people don't assume you know anything. So everything you say is a surprise. But, like, yeah. Yes, I quite like being from Essex. I'm really working class. I went to the dentist today, right? Because I've got a bit of money now from this stupid career. And when you're working class and you get a bit of money, the first thing you do is get your teeth sorted out. I'm such a cliche, but... it's a massive room, so I don't expect... They look all right, didn't they? Thanks. That was worth it then. Just for you. First thing you do is have a party. Second thing you do is get your teeth sorted out.
Yeah.
But they feel weird now because they've been scaled. You know when they go all sharp at the back when you get them descaled? Yeah, a little nod of recognition. But it's like... Oh, I don't like it, Richard.
I was just looking at my own teeth and...
How? In the mirror?
Yeah. it's pretty good. It's a clever way I've discovered. And I've got like one... I've got one silver crown right at the back. Right. And I had that just before my daughter was born. And they said, we can do like a white one so it will match in, but it costs £500 more. And I thought, I'm just about to have a child. I better be careful and not spend the extra £500. So now every time I see that tooth, I kind of think of the nice thing I did. I've got plenty of money. I could have easily done it. But I kind of regret it. But it makes me think about how much I loved my daughter before she turned up.
You should leave it to her. Leave her that little crown.
I'll try to leave that to her. Just hack that off. Solid silver. It is interesting, though, I think, that Essex thing. I was talking to Pope Lonergan. Do you know Pope?
Yes, a big fan.
And he's a very clever guy, but he says that people treat him like... And he's written a fantastic book, which we'll talk about in the book club, Relics of a Book Club. But he feels like people treat him like he's stupid because it's just because of his accent, which is crazy. And his book is full of all this erudite reference, which I think I almost feel like he feels he has to put in. Does that feel like something genuinely that you have to?
Yeah, I do feel that a little bit. But say with, because me and Pope got very different haircuts, and what happens is with my haircut, people just compare me to Russell Brand, yep. who makes an entire career out of using very, very long words very, very quickly. So Pope doesn't really have that problem. My friend told me that Milton Jones said that the bigger the hair, the thicker the audience, right? Which is not a belief I subscribe to, so that's not why I came here with a massive hair. I'm sort of... Being from Essex makes you a little bit of a cartoon character anyway. Yeah. So, I don't know, I quite like it.
Yeah. So, look, your route into comedy is pretty interesting in that you were a singer. Like, you were doing pretty well as a singer, musician. You were on The Voice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah. With Ricky Wilson, some of my audience won't know anything about him because we had to not put his one out. Paloma Faith.
Paloma Faith was my coach.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. She changed my life. The song they gave me for my battle round duet was Kate Bush's This Woman's Work, which is a blinding song, but it's really up there. And I'm transgender. And I was like, if I go on and try and sing Kate Bush, I'm going to say it like a parody of a woman. It's going to seem really, really silly. She was like, don't worry about it. Just sing like yourself. So then I went on like, you know, like really Johnny Cash. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's like it doesn't matter. She basically convinced me just do what you do.
Yeah.
She's a vastly intelligent person. And she gets typecast so much for just sort of she's kooky, isn't she? She's like the kooky one. She is kooky, but she's amazing.
Yeah.
Off screen, all we're talking about was like French cinema and like quantum mechanics and stuff. And then the thing had cut back. I'm not even joking. It sounds like I'm being sarcastic. That's all we're talking about. And then it cut back in and they're like, right, now do the Charlie's Angels pose. And I think someone said to her on stage, okay, so you can get back into the Charlie Angels pose. And she just punched him in the arm, this cameraman. It was great. I think she knew him. She did know him. start that rumour. She's just really cool.
But was it The Voice that you decided that you sort of got the idea to become a comedian? Was that?
Yeah, I didn't want to do it anymore because, well, when I was on The Voice, there's this bit called Marvin's Corner. And I was wearing a bright red suit and they put me in a bright red couch. And I thought, live in front of the nation, it'd be really funny to make my first joke ever, right? So I just like lied down, pretending I was invisible. But obviously, most of the people watching are watching at home on their TV. So I had no idea if it's funny or not. And I decided after that I want to be a comedian. But then after The Voice, I brought out a single and it was rubbish. I spent so much money on a single and it came out sounding like crap. It was really, really bad. And I thought, I don't want to spend money doing that for the rest of my life. I'd much rather try and make people laugh.
Yeah.
So then I went out and bought a red couch.
I mean, there's obviously music's a big part of your act and the songs are sort of fantastic. And compared, I think, rightly to Tim Minchin, which I think is the kind of the ultimate...
Isn't that a bonkers comparison? That's amazing.
But you know, the wittiness of the lyrics and the tunes, you know, they're very, you know, you're a fantastic musician. And also very funny. So, you know, that's not all, those things don't always gel. You get musical comedians who aren't very musical and funny, and you get musical comedians who are very musical but not funny. But it's quite, you know, some of the best, Bo Burnham and Tim Minchin.
Absolutely. Yourself. I think there's two types of, that's what a lovely comparison. Thank you very much, Richard. I think there's two kinds of musical comedy. There's, here's a funny song, we all know it's funny, I'ma sing it funny. Then there's, this song is funny, but I think it's really serious. You lot know it's serious, but I'm going to pretend I'm taking it really seriously. David Brent, the way he sings. You don't think for a minute. He's not in on the joke, obviously. He's not in on the irony. So that's what I think Tim does very, very well. It's all very earnest, and the gravitas is huge. You want to be the biggest star on the planet and put out these incredible songs, but they're about Batman and, like, cake or whatever, Watsits. But you just treat it really seriously. That's the kind of musical comedy that I like to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose the Friday Night Live thing sort of broke you to the general populace.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It was really cold. It was hot in there. It was really nice. Like, that's how my show ends. I was going to say a year. That's how long Edinburgh feels. I did the Edinburgh Fringe, and that's how the show ends every night. And it went really well. And I thought, oh, I'll do that in front of the nation. That'd be nice. Confusing for people. Really, really confusing. Because I suppose basically what most of the nation did was go, there was a reason we didn't come to see you in Edinburgh. We don't like this at all. Why are you in our living rooms now on that square?
Yes. Well, but you know, it's sort of odd. It's, I mean, the whole reaction to, I mean, this whole subject is sort of bizarre. I mean, from every angle, I think. But it's, you know, you obviously get naked at the end of your show and at the end of this set. You did say, I mean, you don't have to do it now. If you want to, it's fine. We're very relaxed here. These boys are gleefully waiting in the front row. That's why they've come for. I understood you wanted to like set yourself on fire on the Channel 4 thing, but you weren't allowed to.
Wasn't allowed, right? Because what I wanted to do was do a Katniss Everdeen off of Hunger Games, and I was going to make. I'm going to do it again, so I've spoiled it for you lot. Don't tell anyone, right? But I was going to make a magician suit out of magician cotton paper and not be wearing anything underneath and set that on fire. So it's going to go, but instead of a dress, I was just going to be nude. And I thought it would be really funny, and it would have been amazing. But like a week before the show, we hadn't really talked about it, and then Channel 4 sent me this really polite email saying, Jordan, we really respect you and we like you. You're doing a great job. You're not allowed to set yourself on fire on live television. I sent them a drawing. I sent them a drawing of what it's going to look like. And it is just what you're imagining. It's a little stick person on fire. I was like, it'll be really good. But I had to draw a picture of my face because what I would have needed to have done was shave my own eyebrows and draw my eyebrows on fake ones.
God, really,
and my own hair would have had to be under a flame retardant, like, swim hat with fake hair on top. You'd be surprised how much of this is actually my hair. Some of it's not. But, like, it'd have a fireproof. The only thing that would be in jeopardy, truly, would be my eyebrows. Okay. No, sorry, eyelashes.
Oh, yes.
Can't fake that.
No.
Can't cut them off and put new ones on.
And also, you know, you might have burnt to death.
Ah. Well, as the diagram showed, it would have been really funny.
But that, you didn't need to do that. I mean, like, a lot of people have appeared naked on stage and on TV, including myself.
Yeah.
I've done both. I did and I was never accused of indecent exposure, though it's much more indecent when I was exposed. Me and Stu had a flash frame thing, which I'd completely forgotten about, and then I found it again. We sort of had this idea in Fist of Fun that we would flash up freeze frames of us naked as dressed as gods, because our aim was to become gods of a new world order. But we actually just went into a garden somewhere, I remember it now, and just had a photo. I can't believe Stuart agreed to do this, mainly. And had photos of our pudgy bodies taken with our cocks out. And that appeared. I mean, we didn't anticipate DVD, I think. Or someone screenshotting and putting it on the internet. So there's that. And then I did a play called Excavating Rita, in which my character went crazy and sort of took his clothes off and ran round the set. But it, you know, but nudity on stage is a different thing.
Yeah.
Than jumping out of a bush at people or whatever. Well,
oh,
it's not indecent exposure, is it?
So many people said stuff like, like, God, if I did that in a pret-a-manger, I'd get arrested. I'm like, yeah, obviously. It's like, you can do that with anything. Like, oh, all those men shooting each other on the front line. Oh, if I'd did that in a wimpy. It's not the right time or place.
Yeah. I mean, context is very important, which seems to have gone out the window. But obviously, there's more to it than that. So even the song, you know, that some people are saying the song was misogynist because you're saying you're better than...
So glad you brought that up. Thank you for bringing that up, because it's so important. It was really sweet. Ben Elton said something to me just beforehand. He was like, he heard the song and he was like, do you maybe want to change... He suggested I maybe change one of the words. I think it was like the word dear. Because he was like, that's going to imply to... like women very specifically, that you're saying that you're better than them. And he was like, I'm not going to tamper with your art, but I didn't change it because it was one of the rhyming words and I couldn't think of another one. But thank you for asking, because it's really, really important. That song is really clearly in my mind. I'm really surprised it's been confused. I never in that song once say I'm better than women.
No.
I say I'm better than everyone. The whole point of the song is how much better I am than every single person in the universe, man, woman and child.
Yeah.
And cat, yogurt. I'm better than everyone. But when you're in the wrong mood, you hear the wrong thing. But all the way through that song, it's just...
It's a comedy song, and it's clear, you know, it's about insecurity as much as anything, isn't it? Right.
If you believed me, I'd be a terrible person. I've written a song about how much better I am because I'm the same as everyone. I think I'm walking around going, oh, I'm not as good as everyone else. but I'm a comedian, so the song is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
That's okay. But, it, you know, but it's in, you know, but people have an agenda, obviously, and, you know, it's, I mean, and it must be exhausting for you. And I know you had a terrible time, like, or at least an exhausting time of sort of death threats and Twitter storm.
It's unusual. It's an unusual thing to go through, yeah. But also because my career is going really well. You just sort of, like, during, it was really funny, actually. Like, there was loads of death threats between Friday Night Live and I did the London Palladium, which is very, very exciting because I'm a working class comedian. And what am I doing the London Palladium? And they kept putting on more and more and more security guards over the course of the week. And then I just went out at the end. And obviously the whole thing went without incident because the world is full of lovely people. So it was just loads of lovely people there. And then I had to walk through like 20 security guards to like get some flowers from someone. I'm like, I'm so, so sorry. Really, really odd. But they were trying to look after me. What, yeah, I've noticed is that there's people sort of spring to other people's aid quite quickly, especially if they feel like there's inherently some injustice. So my life now is I am... When I'm nude on stage, or like right now, I'm a 6-foot toddler who's having a really good time and everyone's looking after me really, really well. It's really nice because they thought I got my feelings hurt and now they don't want them to get hurt anymore. It's lovely.
But, you know, it's one of the powerful things about comedy, and one of the great things about comedy is it gives a voice to someone where everyone, you know, comes to see you and they have to listen. Well, they don't have to, can leave, yeah, but they have to listen to you for an hour and you can tell your story and, you know, what... The whole transgender debate, it comes from both. You know, I think most people who get het up about it are not even anything to do with it. Yeah. And so, you know, to hear somebody's, just to hear someone's point of view and how they've lived their life is such an important thing. And that's one of the great things about comedy. And that's, you know, that's partly why this is such an important show, isn't it?
Thank you. That's really nice the way you said that, because also, like, I think one of the reasons why my career is going so well is because it's not an hour of me talking about being transgender. No. It's all slipped in. I talk about Batman way more than I talk about being transgender. And, like, boobs and dogs and stuff. But it's just being transgender circumstantial. Basically, when you're transgender, this is a great thing about being a transgender comedian, you can tell, like, 200-year-old jokes, but there's a little twist. So it'd be like, in any traditional situation, the old thing of, oh, my... If your husband leaves the toilet seat up, oh, how bloody inconsiderate. When you're transgender, it's like, leaves the toilet seat up. Oh, what a lovely thing to do for you. It's just, you can do like 100-year-old jokes, but they've all got a fresh, silly take. So you get to feel like a real comedian as well. I don't know if that, might be rambling, but I feel like I'm a part of a lineage of comedians. I'm a comedian first, then I'm transgender after that.
Yeah, well, I think you made that clear. I think that's important, but it is just, it's about, you know, I think over the last 20 or 30 years, you know, various comedians have come up with different viewpoints and different lifestyles. And you know, and I think it is often the first place where it can be, you know, it could just, it's not, you know, like you say, it doesn't have to even be discussed. It just has to be.
Just be in there. Yeah.
And, you know, and as you say, it's not, you know, your stuff is funny and your stuff is comedic and it's about a lot more than that. So it's just showing the humanity, I suppose, behind what has become deliberately this sort of political football that's, you know, trying to distract us away from things. I mean, no, it's for the vast majority of people, it's not even something that's going to even remotely affect their life.
Not even a blip. Yeah. We like to think there's a massive swathe of people in the middle that are like, oh, it's fine. More likely, it's a massive swathe of people in the middle going, I don't care. I really don't care, which is why I don't talk about it too much. But yeah, we're supposed to talk about what you know, right? About what you know.
Yeah.
I am this.
Yes.
I am like half. Like, you know those picture books when you were a kid when you had to like match the top of a fireman with the top, with the bottom of a fireman? It's just me. It's just my life.
But, you know, I think it's interesting. I mean, like, sort of Life of Brian's interesting because people bring that up sometimes. There's a bit in Life of Brian that some... you know, woke people are very upset about, and the other people think is, you know, it makes a big point about you're Loretta, the guy wants to change to Loretta and have babies, and he can't because he hasn't got a womb. But then also in Life of Brian, Graham Chapman is completely naked as well. No one's going, he's
sounds like my sort of film.
I think you'd
I can't remember that bit?
But it's one of my favourite films. It's a fantastic film, but it's sort of like people just choose one element of it and don't spot the other side of it, or, you know.
That's it. It really is a target. It's not targeted in a malicious sense. I think it's just a natural thing. It's like in Inception, when you're in someone else's brain and the whole brain knows that you're there. You know, that bit?
Yeah.
more Life of Brian fans than Inception fans, I suppose. It's that bit, yeah, where they're all, I suppose, it's like being a white blood cell in a big giant's veins. So if it's not a targeted thing, but everyone just instinctively feels, like if we're living in a time now where we feel like our freedom's being taken away, sort of everyone's a bit less money, a little bit less freedom, or at least the illusion of less freedom, it's really hard to admit your freedom's been taken away and it was maybe your fault for not fighting for them. So instead of having to admit that to yourself, you go, oh, but there's another thing that's taken the freedom away. Right, that's the problem over there. I think that we transgender people sort of represent freedom in a weird sort of way because we changed a little bit. You're not supposed to do that because where's my freedom? You got that freedom. Where's my freedom gone? So it's easier to sort of maybe try and squash us than admit that you possibly let your freedoms go, like get taken away a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, and just it's this distraction thing of refugees or whatever that, you know, if we make everyone think about boats or cocks, that it'll distract people from everything else that's going on. But, you know, it does, it's sort of this, it's so crazy, you know, and I know you've had, you know, I think I've talked to you about this before, but like there's a couple of times on Twitter I've got in the middle of a Twitter storm, and it's the time when I've said what I think is the most nice and moral thing I've ever said. And usually my Twitter stream is full of stuff that you'd think would make people angry. The time that I said, let's try and not use disablest language, I had 3 days of being called a spastic by Ricky Gervais fans. There may be a company, there might be a little parallel with this story as well. And the time I said, why don't, you know, it's sort of polite to call people whatever they want to be called. Again, that's led to a lot of problems. And me, within about 2 hours of me tweeting that, someone said, you want to go into women's changing rooms and spy on teenage girls, which I do, but that's not the point. That's not why I said it.
It's nice that you take ownership of that.
But it's, you know, it's weird how much it comes down to toilets. I was saying to you backstage, when I was in Pizza Express this weekend, I accidentally went into the women's toilet. I went to the toilet in the women's toilet and I came out, I opened the cubicle. There was no urinals. I just thought that's a bit weird, but you know, came out of my cubicle just as like a probably 10-year-old girl was coming out of the other cubicle and I went, oh God. And she just laughed. I mean, she wasn't scared. She laughed and then she just went out and then she walked back to the table she was sitting at, which, I don't know, she thought she was safe, and it was actually the table right behind her, so I walked past, and she was just going to her mum, oh, you'll never believe what happened, then she saw me and went... And I have to tell you, as a man, going into a women's bathroom is the most humiliating thing that can happen to you. So the idea that anyone would be wanting to do that for anything other than to do a wee...
Yeah, there's very few sort of really fun bits about being transgender, but one of them is sincerely just asking where the toilet is. being in a Pizza Express, for example, if I was to walk up to a waiter and go like, oh, excuse me, which way to the toilet? They go, yeah, sure. All right, I've got two options for you. And they'd be like, and they always really sweet. You can see the mental cogs turn. They'd be like, well, the ladies is there. And should you wish to visit the men's for any reason? It's just around the... If you want to tell a friend or something, it's around the corner. Really, really sweet. There's never been... Like, no one that would like to enter a toilet, any toilet, for any reason, with malicious intentions, is going to be stopped by a little sign, a little cartoon. Imagine, like, being a murderer. Let's say a murderer and going, don't be a murderer, they're bad. Don't ever do a murder, they're really bad. But, like, a murderer, go up to a toilet, I'm going to murder some people. Oh, that's the women's. Oh, I'm not allowed in there. I'll go through the rigmarole, 10-year pain of doing all this and all the bloody transition to go, oh, she's moved away now. Oh, what a waste of time. No, it is absurd, but I like that it's absurd. I mean, when it stops being absurd is when it gets dangerous, when it becomes normal rhetoric to talk about this stuff. It's been weird. Last few days have been a bit weird. My name keeps popping up on weird programmes that are all angry programmes. What's that LBC? LBC?
I don't listen to LBC.
Not LBC. Is there like a... I might be saying like the completely wrong letter. Letters are hard. There's so many letters. What's that British news programme? That one.
Oh, GB News,
I was on that programme. I wasn't on it.
No.
My name was mentioned in... Things are going really well for me because what's really nice, people saying that I'm staying away from all the rhetoric, and that's not by design. It's just I'm not particularly politically savvy person, yeah. So I don't really know what's going on anyway. But I keep popping up. People keep being all angry about me.
But they will be. I mean, it's a shame. I mean, more than a shame. It's horrible for you, and it's horrible for us that's the world we live in. But I think it feels when this kind of thing happens, well, it's one of two things. Yeah. It's either the last death throes of something kind of ending, or it's a really horrible, disgraceful happening. So yeah, but I think most people just feel they don't know. They're worried they'll say the wrong thing. They're worried they'll do the wrong thing. So I think most people, it's just more out of, oh, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. Yeah. So I think that's most people who are confused by it.
But then, sorry, no, please don't. Let me.
But you know, but I think that GB News thing is. Well, you know, but you know, I'm always worried I'll say the wrong thing to everyone, and I always end up saying the wrong thing to everyone. But you know, it doesn't matter, does it? If people make a mistake, that's not the important thing.
And that's because it's this strange self-imposed thing. I understand it's really sweet and humbling that somebody would want to not upset you, but you end up with this cognitive dissonance in your brain, like when you're expecting there to be something awkward and then something awkward doesn't happen, you're left with it in your brain. And then it's like, right, so the cognitive dissonance is this amazing thing, the idea of being able to hold two opposing viewpoints at the same time. The brain don't like that at all. So when you walk past a homeless person, a bit of your brain goes, I've got money, I shall give it to them because they need some money. And then another bit of your brain's going, I want my money, it's my money, I like money, right? And you walk past the homeless person, and we all do that same thing where the lip goes in. Right. And when you walk past, that exchange is finished, but then a bit of your brain is still pinballing between those two things, and that's cognitive dissonance, and it builds up and builds up and builds up. So silly self-imposed situations like that, where we haven't yet made ourselves comfortable with who we are, is why we lash out. And so having not decided how you feel about transgender people before you meet one, that's sort of on you a little bit. You've got to, like, I can do half the work, but you've got to meet me halfway as well, because we are just a normal person with maybe extra bits or fewer bits than you're expecting. That's all we are, really.
Well, I've only got two-thirds of male genitals, so... So, you know, I can swing either way now. I'm going to take the rest of it off. I can't run. I could get more put in. You can get... If you've lost a ball... They could put, you know, I could ask for five or six to be put in and be even more of a man than I am right now.
I've heard there's one in the Albert Hall going spare. You really want one, yeah. Imagine knocking about with Hitler's ball, like in your ball.
Well, it's a dream. It's a dream I've long had.
It's an old dream.
If anyone finds it, I'll do it. That's a guarantee.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let me ask them, we'll ask you some emergency questions. I'm going to ask you some AI-generated emergency questions. I'm hoping to replace myself with a robot.
Sure.
That looks exactly like me. All I'll do is I'll bring in the robot every day, set it up. It'll just come up with questions, ask questions. Then I'll take the robot out after it's finished and then I'll bum it. That's sorry, it's not for me. It's my own. That's all right. You're allowed to bum yourself, and it's not cheating because it's a sex robot. Is it cheating on your partner to have sex with a sex robot? I mean, it doesn't have to be of yourself.
No, it's sweet, because what you've asked is a hypothetical question that you would like there to be a very specific answer to. So I sort of have to agree with you. Yeah, it's okay, fine.
Right, this is...
I would bum a Richard Herring sex robot. Definitely do that.
Everyone would. Well, as soon as they're out, there's going to be all different types, all different number of balls. So it's going to be up to 100
balls. Imagine, like, finding out, oh, they finally made sex robots. That's amazing, yeah. It's Richard Herring.
They're all Richard Herring.
Why? Just because we fancy that.
It's sort of, that's sort of what would happen in the Twilight Zone, isn't it? It'd be a man going, come on in, the watch. Oh, we'll go for it. A mouth to mouth. This is very similar question. If a genie, this is from an AI who created this.
Right.
If a genie granted you 3 wishes, but one of the conditions was that you had to make one of your enemies happy, who would you choose and why? So one of your wishes, I presume, has to be made for the benefit of someone who you consider an enemy.
That's great. That's great because it's a roundabout way of making my own problems better. I just wish that J.K. Rowling was really happy. Because then my life would be fine. Everything would be fine then. She wouldn't be so distracted by it all. Also, I never met her. She's probably fine.
She's probably all right.
She's probably fine.
She's probably fine.
And then what's more? 2 more wishes.
You
I've got
can
to
have
spend.
2 more wishes for yourself.
It's all coming up, Jordan. I'd wish for a Richard Herring sex robot.
Everyone's getting one.
Yeah.
For everyone, I think. There's...
And I'd wish that Channel 4 had let me set myself on fire.
All right, let's see. That's good.
Thanks.
That's good. This is AI. What would be a good emergency use for a giant Toblerone?
Ah, wait.
This is AI.
Giant by the like the ones, the big ones they make, or are they talking about a giant Toblerone?
I mean, the big ones you get at airports, I think, which are, you know, about that big, like that.
Yeah.
That
sort of a like a winch. What's it called when you put? I know it's a podcast, but like there's a visual medium.
Yeah.
When you like want to lift something, you put it underneath and you move that.
Yeah, a lever.
A lever.
I don't know.
A
fulcrum. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good use for it. Thanks. Okay, this paid dividends last week. This one. What is the most ludicrous thing you've ever done in the name of love?
Oh, the silliest thing I've ever done for love. Oh, I broke up with my 14-year-old girlfriend when I was 14. I was 14.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah.
For a moment, I was like... and then I thought, it's really important that she knows how heartbroken I am. So I was in a band. I was in a grindcore band.
Yeah.
Rah, rah, rah. Right? That's what we were called. And then she comes to the gig, and then I've written on my chest in red lipstick, broken heart. like someone's going to see that and go, oh, it's probably got a broken heart. I wonder who did that. I'll be like, ugh. What's she like? But that same night, I should tell this story. We've got the time for me to tell a short story.
Got time,
about
you can
that
tell
same
it.
Night, she come. Oh, it's so embarrassing. I was a little goth. When I was a kid, and I, behind the drum kit, we used to hang up black bin bags behind the drum kit of my band, so it looked really, really cool. And then we'd run out of bin bags, so I hung up my goth black bed sheets behind the drum kit, which looked amazing. And then at 10 o'clock at night, they switched off the lights, and the UV lights came on. And I'm standing there with my broken heart there, and this glowworm massacre behind me. I think she left. I think she just left.
it's a good question that AI's come with. That's 2 for 2. That's 2 for 2. Right, I'll do one more. Let me see. No, I'm not going to do the cat in the washing machine one. That's not nice. Let me just check. There's a couple of quite... I went for sort of more convoluted ones.
I like this. This is nice.
Here's a really cool. I don't know what this is. This is the first time I've asked this. What would happen if a potato had consciousness and became self-aware? Would it try to escape from the frying pan or embrace its delicious fate? And if it did escape, would it go on to lead a fulfilling life or just rot away in obscurity? And then the AI comments on how brilliant it is itself. These are the kind of hard-hitting philosophical questions that we need to be asking ourselves in the modern age. That's why we have to be scared of the robots taking over the world. That's the arrogance at the end there. It's not just I've come up with a great question.
You can see the development of AI in that question, because its job was ask a question, and then it got a bit too excited and started telling a whole story about a potato.
Do you think that's what would happen if a potato
had consciousness? I don't think that's the important part of this at all. This is the robot I'm curious about. Yeah. All right, if a potato, if it come alive, it'd probably be able to see all around itself.
Yeah.
Because it's got loads of eyes.
That's true.
And it would take one look at the world and it would throw itself back in the frying pan.
Wow, that's good. Yeah. And embrace its delicious fate. It's a delicious fate for whoever's eating it. It's not a delicious fate for the potato, is it? The AI is not, oh, good, I taste delicious and I'm being eaten. That's not a delicious fate. That's a horrific,
painful
fate.
Would you want to taste delicious to, let's say, for example, a cannibal? In fact, that's the only specific. would you want their last, when you know you're going to be eaten, would you want to taste good to them, or would you want to go down, like, would you want to get stuck?
Yeah, I think I'd try and take revenge. I'd try and take them with me. Yeah. And then as they were dying, I'd try and eat them and show them what it's like.
You sound like an AI computer right now.
Hopefully that won't happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't be my 5-year-old son asked about cannibals the other day and said, are cannibals real? Right. It's a really difficult question to answer, because you go, well, I mean, but not really. And so, like, I started talking about plane crashes and stuff. And now you can eat people. And I thought, that's not appropriate. So you get yourself into trouble if you try. We have to remember, kids are fucking stupid. Just say no, they're not real. But then they'll fight. If you go to a kid, no, cannibals aren't real, then they find out cannibals are real, then they go, oh, so there are monsters or ghosts all over the house. So, you know, you've got to try and tell the truth. Let's ask you some questions about your upcoming work. Look, you've been working on quite a lot of scripted stuff, and you've got a sitcom in the process with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Is that still happening?
Yeah. It's their production company picked up a sitcom I made for Comedy Central, which is called Transaction, where I work in a supermarket, and it's just me with a slightly different haircut. That's all it is. I'm not really a trained actress at all, but I think it's quite good, so that's being made by them. Lots of things.
Are they going to be, is Nick and Simon and or Simon going to be in that?
Nick's going to be in it a lot, and Simon's probably, what he'll do is he'll do like a, you know how he sometimes cameos from the other side of the world on like a screen, because he's literally filming Mission Impossible 20 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So he'll just pop into a screen for a bit, say hello, and then that'll count as his cameo. But yeah, he'll be in it a bit. Lots of things. Developing lots of scripted stuff, and I'm going to be on TV loads now. We've taped loads of stuff at the end of last year.
Great.
All my favourite shows, including this one.
Yes.
Like, this is a bucket list thing for me. I think I've ticked off most of my bucket list now, which is quite sad. What else am I going to do?
But it's green, but it does show...
Is that an applause or somebody opening some crisps? I didn't want to be like, thanks. You know, I was having some...
It might have been a sentient... it was a sentient packet of crisps, embracing their
delicious... It's come alive! They've come alive, the potatoes.
So which things have you... I mean, obviously, Friday Night Live is a massive thing to have done. Just, you know, that's... Because that was obviously just back for one time. Is there any chance of that coming back It was an anniversary show, was it? Oh,
yeah. This is an audio medium, but what you just heard me do is rub my microphone on my nose. Like, it's a secret.
It's a secret.
But now there's always talk about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It certainly did very well.
Yeah.
It's the shape that it would come back in is the question. Is it going to be a running thing or maybe a sort of a biannual thing,
right?
Rather than every Friday night, live every Friday night.
Yeah.
Because it's huge, wasn't it? I think that I saw in the background there was like an aeroplane and like windmills and stuff. I mean, it's a big show to do every Friday night with big stars and stuff. And I can't get nude every Friday night. I think the novelty would wear off after the first few Fridays.
There's more to you than having no clothes on. I mean, also, there's all the different ways you can take your... You can burn your clothes off. You can get in a bath of acid and make them come off that way.
Like an ice clove that just melt really slowly.
Yeah, it melts slowly. I think you could do more than that. Thanks. I think we could do every show you get naked. It would annoy people. What else can you talk about that was on your bucket list that you've got to...
Those sort of panel shows that that you watch when you're a student in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And some that you watch during the night. I'm trying to make this sound exciting without revealing what they actually are. Clever ones.
Yeah.
Some not so clever ones. Which was perfect for me. And they're going to send me around the world this year to do a sort of a travel log type thing, right. Which is really cool. You're going to see loads of me, and I am sorry in advance for how much you're going to see me and this face and this haircut. But yeah, lots.
It's a sort of it's a risky thing as a performer when this happens, right? I mean, it doesn't happen to many people, but when you burst onto the scene, is it difficult to make sure you don't want to get overexposed, literally. But you don't want to be overexposed in too much stuff, and you don't want to kind of make people sick of you. I thought this about Jimmy Carr, so right. I was pretty wrong about that. I thought, oh, Jimmy's doing too much this Christmas. This will be the end of his career. But is that he did all right. but he would have done better if he hadn't done something. No, he wouldn't. Is that a concern, or do you think let's just go with everything and it'll go with everything I want to do?
I'm being looked after by some incredible people, and yeah. They've staggered it quite cleverly. I got there was an offer. I don't know if you're allowed to talk about offers you got and then you turned down. Is that all right to say?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's see.
So there's some things where it just wasn't the right thing at that time. It would have been overexposing, but I was supposed to go to Switzerland and build a massive snowman at Christmas with some celebrities, which is really sweet.
Yeah.
And then my agents was like, I know that sounds really fun, Jordan, but you've got a lot of work to do here in the UK. So I wasn't allowed to build a snowman with celebrities. But it's like there's been lots of things like that where it's just...
Was that for a TV show, or was that just there? Just like, come on over, we're building a snowman.
Yeah, I think they do it every year, don't they? Yeah. Celebrities build massive, massive snowmans.
Yeah.
Snowmen. but that was a TV thing. It's lots of unscripted and scripted stuff. And,
yeah.
And my own podcast, which you joined me on. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Transplaining the podcast, which would deserve more than you just gave it. But thank you for coming on that. My guest was late and we went for lunch.
It was very nice. Well, we had an Indian breakfast, which I discussed, I think, last week with
you
Mark Gatiss.
You were disgusted?
Wait, we discussed. Mark Gatiss said, have you ever been to Dishoom to have breakfast? And I went, no. And I went, oh, no, I have. I went with George Gray. Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
Nice, I had an egg and a naan.
Yeah, it was if you want an interesting breakfast, go to Dishoom. You wouldn't think to go for an Indian breakfast.
No, not for breakfast. And nice. Also, it's the first time I met you and I was all nervous because you're all cool and famous and
That's
funny.
True,
and that.
I am cool.
And then... And I was just like, it was really cool to just ask if you wanted to go to dinner. And you sort of, you'd have had to really politely say no and then sit there for an hour in silence or come with me for food.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was time to ingratiate myself with you, and you were very polite and very sweet to me.
No, it was lovely to meet you, and it was a really good fun podcast as well. Do listen to that podcast if you get the chance. It is fantastic. You're off to Australia imminently.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're doing Melbourne and...
Melbourne and Canberra. Going to take that show out there. And I've got a show in my... A joke in my show about Yorkie. But I went into Jeff Goldblum then for a second. I've got a show in my Yorkie bar. I've got a joke in my show about Yorkie bars. And I don't know if they've got an Australian equivalent to Yorkie bars, if they know what they are. And that's the thing that's been on my mind more than anything else.
When we went to the Adelaide Festival, I tried to write a sitcom about it, and the sitcom was called Do You Have Mars Bars Here? Because it was exactly that thing. When you go to another country, you basically have to go and ask someone you trust who isn't going to deliberately fuck you up, because there are some people who would deliberately fuck you up.
So you're sort of saying I'm the new Richard Herring.
You are. It's sort of interesting, but it's interesting that that's what's on a comedian's mind when you go, not always. I mean, a lot of Americans come over here and it doesn't seem to occur to them. That we might not really know what Twinkies are, or it's a very exciting thing to do. You've not performed, have you? You're not even as a musician in Australia. No,
never been to Australia. Got a family in Nunna Wadding. My great grandfather went and started a second secret family in the Second World War.
Okay.
So we've all got an equivalent Australian over there, which is really nice. I'm looking forward to meeting the Australian version of myself. Just be upside down. it's going to be really nice. And I don't think my elderly relatives know the content of the show either. So that's going to be fun. That's a really sweet story. My grandfather came to visit me at the Edinburgh Fringe. He came to see my show. And as far as he was concerned, walking in, I was just his grandson. He doesn't know what transgenderism is. And then I did the show and he was squinting the whole time, bless his little cotton socks. And then at the end, I get nude and I was, good night, everyone. And then he got up off his chair and he come and hugged me when I'm nude. And then he put his walking stick in the air and he was like, she's amazing. Aww. And it was like, it killed me, like in a nice way. And then it took an hour of jokes about Batman to convince him that I was his granddaughter. It was really, it was so, so sweet. So I'm hoping to recreate that with all of my, all of my family members around the globe.
They might very well. They might just attack you and punch you. It is no offence to Australia, but it's a terrible backwards country.
Whoa!
Oh shit! It's where I get my third highest listenership in Australia. It's time someone told the truth. No, it's so the opposite. I mean, some of it is. They're not very nice to the Aboriginal people there, but apart from, you'll be fine. Oh, dearie me.
I'm remaining really quiet throughout this bit because I am leaving for Australia on Sunday.
You are. So. By the time this goes out, you'll be home again, so you can join in. I'm never going back. Fuck you, Australia. Fuck the lot of you. I'd so like to go. Both times, the last two times I went to Australia, I'd just broken up with two different girlfriends. So like it was 1 year after the other, and I'd been in two serious relationships and they'd both broken up, so I was quite sad at the beginning, and then the women of Australia made me happy again. Oh. quite a lot of them the second time. Thank you to the wonderful women of Australia, not the rest of you. God, what's wrong?
keep going.
What's wrong with me? I'm just ill. I reckon they can take it. I reckon.
His little smile. I've got like a really HD guilt going on. It's like so close up.
I could get cancelled in Australia, which is it's the same as what I am now, isn't it? I'm not going back there. I've got a family. It's a terrible thing. A question I'd like to bring back that I haven't asked very much recently, but we've started doing these emergency questions. What's the word? Collaborations, I want to say, not that. What's the word for when you do a load of... Compilations, that's the word. Thank you very much. That was intelligent over there and just dictionary over there. That's good. We started doing these emergency questions compilations where we just give everyone's answer to one question. And with the second one is about the Human Centipede. Are you aware of the film The Human Centipede?
Yeah.
I think it's a good question. I think we should ask... we should ask it more.
I've not seen it, but...
No, like, I haven't seen it
but
either.
But like most people, we sort of all know what happens.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Andy McCaich has seen both the first two, but not any of the others. That's what I learned from the compilation. I've forgotten. If you were going to be put in a human centipede... you're in the middle, but the mad scientist lets you choose who's at either end. What's wrong with you?
Right.
Who would you like your mouth sewed to the anus of, and who would you like to have
there? There's four people in the front row.
Who would be in front and who would be behind?
Well, again, it's one of the beautiful things about being transgender is you get to surprise people. So, I'd like them to say, oh, yeah, there's going to be a woman in the middle. You're going to enjoy that. And then just see their expectations. Just the happiness drained from their eyes, whoever's behind me.
I'm not sure they'd be that happy.
No, it's relative. It's relative happiness. It's hard. It's a very weird thing. Bros. There you go.
Bros either end.
Because what's great about that mathematically, it's identical, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I've not given anyone any special treatment.
But which bros one do you want at the front and which one do you want at the back? Do you want Bros are a very interesting pair of twins because one of them's had work done and the other hasn't had work done.
I want the work done in front of me.
Work in front.
That's, I want to see that work,
I think,
up close.
I think Matt's had some work done. Luke looks like Matt would look if he hadn't had the work done. I hope to get Bros on the show one day. That might have wrecked it.
Reenact what we've just been talking about.
Did you see the documentary about Bros?
Wasn't that incredible, that Bros documentary?
Amazing.
That was amazing.
Yeah. You couldn't beat that. If you had them on, I couldn't get them talking about anything better than they talked on that.
No.
It's one of the greatest pieces of drama I've ever seen in my life.
We live in a world where, obviously the boundaries of satire are so blurred because people, like, shit posting, I believe it's called. It's a noble profession. Like, people that they satire things, and satirize, probably the word. And they're so good at it that even I'll go on and go, my friends have become very right-wing and unusual. And it's because they're just satirizing. And then Bros documentary comes on and I couldn't tell for the first 15 minutes if it was a joke or not. It was incredible. It was like David Brent, wasn't it? It was amazing. But they seem like nice guys.
I love them. Fairlands Middle School for 1 year, then they moved back to London, but it still counts. That's the Cheddar Massive. they're in amongst that. Good, that's good to know. If you could go into a chrysalis like a caterpillar, dissolve and come out as anything, I mean, you sort of have. What would you come out as?
Yeah, myself. That's nice. You're right. You've hit it right on the head. I'd come out as me with slightly nicer teeth.
You've got nicer teeth.
Thanks. I'm missing loads. I've got Lego teeth. That one just comes right
out. Oh, my goodness.
It's like a little...
I love it.
I made it myself. You've got these little thermo beads off the internet. So I'd go in the chrysalis.
Yeah.
I'd come out and all my teeth would be real.
Okay.
That's it.
What happened to the tooth that you've just taken out?
The other guy. No, just fell out because I'm a child. I eat too many sweets.
Right. I eat a lot of sweets.
Yeah?
Yeah. My teeth have... Well, that one hasn't. That one's... Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want? I'll make you one if you want.
Okay.
That would be an honour for me to make your teeth. That'd be great.
I like the idea of just being able to take it out.
Yeah. Use it how you like. Sort of like having like a cyanide capsule.
And if you have it on a string, you can get loads of money off the tooth fairy. Like Top Cat used to do with the... Well, look. It's been absolutely terrific to have you here, and I'm so pleased that everything's going so well for you.
Thank you.
And, you know, keep on keeping on. Fuck 'em, as I think I told you last time I spoke to you. Fuck 'em, the ones that don't get it, and carry on doing what you're doing because it's incredible. If you haven't seen Jordan's stuff, do go and see Jordan. Absolutely fantastic comedy show and music, and it's beautiful, life affirming, and her granddad gets up and hugs her and believes in her every night.
Thank you for having me. This is a proper treat for me. Thank you all for indulging my silliness.
Ladies and gentlemen, amazing. So God, Jordan Gray. You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Jordan Gray. Scant Regard provide the music, as always. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you also to Chris Evans, not that one, and his crazy team of misfits. And thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre for having us, and everyone at Acast. Hey, why not? This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Head to GoFasterStripe.com and buy books, DVDs, downloads, whatever you like.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.